Hello, everyone. I'm Pat Norman, and I welcome you to the August 29th, 2024 episode of Free Pod. As always, we are proud to bring you this short weekly podcast with the help of a large volunteer group dedicated to providing objective news that is specific to our community.
Hello, Free Pod listeners. I'm Paulette Williams-Thomas, and we want to remind you that any photos or website addresses are always included in the print version of our newscast on the Free Pod website at www.freepod.org. Now let's get started on the local news you've been missing. At their meeting on August 19th, the Freeport City Council accepted a $400,000 grant to help make Freeport streets safer at accident-prone intersections. This grant from the U.S. Department of Transportation is called Safe Streets and Roads for All and will allow the City of Freeport to hire consultants to create a plan to increase transportation safety throughout the city while also prioritizing underserved areas. Specific intersections that will be reviewed include Stevenson Street and Park Boulevard, Stevenson Street and Greenfield Drive, Walnut Street to Float Street on South Street, Walnut Street and Empire Avenue, at 12 City School crossing lights, and hotspots on West Avenue, Clark Street, and Douglas Avenue. A map of accident hotspots in Freeport is available on the city's website at www.cityoffreeport.org. In order to receive the $400,000 grant, the United States Department of Transportation's Federal Highway Administration requires the city to utilize $100,000 in local funds. It was also noted that Mayor Jody Miller will run for mayor for the city of Freeport in 2025.
Rebuilding Together Stevenson County is one of over 100 affiliates of the National Rebuilding Together organization. Their goal is to repair area homes that have fallen into disrepair for homeowners who can't afford to fix them, with particular attention paid to providing safe and healthy housing. Their mission states that they are committed to repairing homes, revitalizing communities, rebuilding lives. Thanks to the generosity of local churches, banks, grants, charitable foundations, 100 Women Who Care, many individuals, Lowe's, USAA Financial Services, and others, they have been able to provide services to homeowners at no cost to the homeowners, with some work being done on a volunteer basis while also hiring contractors when necessary. Since their inception in Freeport in 2021, they have completed 10 projects, including painting of home exteriors, replacing windows, rebuilding unsafe porches, landscaping, building ramps for disabled homeowners, and in one case for a special needs child, repairing a storm-damaged roof, along with needed interior repairs, and replacing a large portion of a collapsed ceiling at the Freeport Church Cooperative's women's dorm. Photos during and at the completion of a recent project appear in the print version of this newscast online at freeport.org. Rebuilding Together is proud to say that they are making a difference in our community, one family, one home, one neighborhood at a time.
Most of us have been in the unfortunate situation of a pet getting lost. So what do you do when it happens? That's when the animal control departments for both Freeport and Stevenson County get involved. Officials at the city and the county say if a pet goes missing, the first thing to do is call their departments. For Freeport, the number is 815-235-8210, and the county's number is 815-235-8276. After office hours, they ask that people call the non-emergency numbers for Freeport Police at 815-235-8222 and Stevenson County Sheriff at 815-235-8252. These numbers may also be used by anyone who sees stray animals on the loose. Animal control officers also will pick up stray animals they see, investigate complaints, and issue citations for violations of any ordinances.
In response to recent issues related to driveway projects negatively affecting the city right-of-way, the Freeport City Council has approved an amendment to Chapter 1262 of the codified ordinances. This will allow the city more jurisdiction over the quality of driveways within the community. The amendment will require residents to acquire a permit when working on driveways, no matter the project cost. The cost of these permits will be 1% of the entire cost of the project.
Freeport Police Chief Chris Schenberger recently made a special presentation to officers Joshua Leverton and Justin Holden for going above and beyond the requirements of their normal day for the good of our community. They were credited with finding a suspicious vehicle and suspects in that vehicle who were in possession of loaded guns and prevented a potential shooting incident that could have occurred. Both officers were given the Merit Award at a Committee of the Whole meeting.
In news from Freeport School District 145, it was announced that there will be 5 e-learning days that may be used for emergency weather closings. These are days that do not have to be made up at the end of the year. Additionally, enrollment for the 2024-25 school year is 3,720, with almost 400 multilingual students. And good news for all comes in the news that the district is fully staffed.
At the most recent board meeting for the Freeport Park District, the annual audit was reviewed and pronounced to be a clean audit. Additional news included the information that following the departure of Park District Executive Director Ron Schneider in June, the board has paid the Illinois Association of Park Districts $7,600 to help search for a new director. In the interim, Bruce Cubberly continues to serve as interim executive director as appointed by the Park Board of Commissioners. Prior to this temporary assignment, Cubberly served as the superintendent of parks and natural resources for the Freeport Park District for the last 5 years. The board also confirmed that there are 2 shot spotter towners at Reed Park, and they have 2 police body cams for 3 park police officers. In addition, the board noted that they are applying for a $1.2 million open space lands acquisition and development grant for 2025. The Open Space Lands Acquisition and Development Program is a state-financed grant program that provides funding assistance to local government agencies for acquisition and or development of land for public parks and open space. Projects vary from small neighborhood parks or tot lots to large community and county parks and nature areas. The state program is financed by a percentage of the state's real estate transfer tax.
The Greater Freeport Partnership was honored as a co-recipient of the Matthew Marvin Community Impact Award at the Foundation for Northwest Illinois Gala on August 17th. The partnership's achievements in promoting collaborative economic development initiatives in Stevenson County were noted as deserving of the honor. The partnership's award was accepted by Executive Director Andrea Schultz Winter. The foundation also honored Northwest Illinois Economic Development as the other co-recipient of the Matthew Marvin Award. This organization promotes economic development by fostering business growth and assisting, expanding, and relocating businesses in determining their needs for growth with cooperation of government and business partners and assisting with access to the resources necessary to do so. It was formed in 2008 by the Joe Carroll Energy Board of Directors to spearhead economic development structures, funding, and progress in Joe Davis, Carroll, and Whiteside counties. The LENA Business and Professional Association, was also awarded the Craig Wilson Rural Vitality Award for their work in promoting shopping with local businesses. The foundation hosted the celebration gala in honor of their 50th anniversary and to showcase their strategic work in economic development with nearly 130 guests in attendance.
If you lived through the 80s or wish you had, mark your calendars for Winnipeg Players' upcoming performances of Back to the 80s, a comedic parody based on movies from that decade. Think Back to the Future, Risky Business, or Goonies. Board member Jamie Elliott, who has been watching rehearsals, says the show is funny, really funny. It's just hilarious, she says. The script is very well written, and the cast is doing a great job. It even includes an interactive feature, which gives the audience a voice on what happens next. We think it will be a big crowd pleaser. Evening performances are September 20th, 21st, 27th, and 28th at 7 p.m., with a matinee offered on Saturday, September 21st at 2 p.m. Individual tickets are $10, with a group rate of 5 tickets for $45 and 6 tickets for $50. Jamie shared that change is in the air at Winnipeg, and the website is currently being updated. In the meantime, the best way to secure tickets is to email the box office with your request at winnieboxoffice@gmail.com. Please include the date of the performance you wish to see, names of members, and number of non-members, along with your seating preference if you have one. A phone number where you can be reached is also appreciated. You will get an email back confirming your request and providing more details. Season tickets are also available.
In more Winnipeg Theater news, two productions are being planned for October's Halloween season, including an Edgar Allan Poe radio hour and a shadow cast of the cult classic The Rocky Horror Picture Show. In case you don't know what a shadow cast is, let me explain. The movie is played and actors on stage in front of the screen act in tandem with and lip sync with the movie's actors. The first shadow cast of the Rocky Horror Picture Show happened in Los Angeles in 1976 after the movie came out in 75. Sounds a little crazy, but people who have attended one of these say it's a lot of fun. Later in the year, a holiday production of 2 half-hour shows separated by a festive reception is in the works for Christmas time. The Winnipeg Theater is believed to be the nation's oldest, continuously performing all-volunteer amateur theater. Winnie, as it is affectionately nicknamed, has been operating in Freeport since 1926. It has been at its current location, 228 West Clark Street, since 1936.
What's up with the crabapple trees? This story didn't make it into last week's newscast, so we wanted to be sure to include it this week in response to people asking why so many of our crabapple trees look like they're dying right now. According to a regional forestry expert, crabapple trees and some other tree species this year are experiencing a higher rate of fungal disorders due to the wet weather we've had throughout our spring and summer. Fungal disorders can leave trees with discolored leaves, spots, premature leaf drops, and just an overall unhealthy appearance. For crabapple trees, this disorder is called apple scab. Apple scab doesn't kill the trees, and it's not something to worry about. Treatment for the tree also isn't necessary at this point in the season, as the fungal disorder has already run its course. One thing you can do to help prevent trees from developing fungal disorders is to clean up leaf litter in your yard and then dispose of it at a brush site. Everything should be back to normal next spring.
If you're looking for something fun to do on Labor Day next Monday, September the 2nd, try a ride on the Silver Creek and Stevenson Railroad of Freeport, which will be open all day. The train operated by the Stevenson County Antique Engine Club, is the type of train used during the golden age of railroading, when numerous branch line trains tied the small towns of what was once a more rural America to each other and to the outside world. You can experience branch line railroading in this 1912 steam locomotive that takes riders on a 3.5-mile round-trip excursion into history. Tickets are $8 for adults, $2 for kids under 12, and you can even get a $20 ticket to ride in the engine's cab. Rides depart at 11 o'clock a.m., noon, and on the hour between 1 and 4 p.m. The address is 2954 South Walnut Road in Freeport. The Silver Creek Museum and Cooper Corliss Engine are also open from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Labor Day. And if you ride the train, your ticket to the museum is just $5, and children under age 12 are free. There is no fee admission to see the Cooper Corliss Engine, which served a company in LaSalle, Illinois from 1914 to 1965. One of the six large engines powered a rolling mill and a line shaft that powered other equipment. The engine is the largest flywheel steam engine within 500 miles of Freeport, weighing 60 tons and capable of 250,000 foot-pounds of torque. Engines fitted with Corliss value gear offered the best thermal efficiency of any type of stationary steam engine until the refinement of the uniflow steam engine and steam turbine in the 20th century.
As we look ahead to a short week due to the Labor Day holiday, we want to remind everyone that the public is invited to provide input for the 2025 budget for the City of Freeport next Tuesday, September 3rd. This conversation is scheduled for 5 o'clock p.m. at the Council Chambers at City Hall, located at 314 West Stevenson Street in downtown Freeport. City Manager Rob Boyer and the Finance Department staff will provide general information on the budget process, and then meeting attendees can share their thoughts on what they would like to see funded in their neighborhoods and the community at large. The public will have another opportunity to offer input during a similar meeting on Monday, October 28th. Next up, with a presidential election right around the corner, attendees at the Lindo Theater's Select Picks Classic Film Series will enjoy All the President's Men next Wednesday, September 4th. This 1976 political thriller is an inside look at the famous Watergate scandal. Robert Redford, Dustin Hoffman, and Jason Robarb star. All the President's Men screens Wednesday at 1 o'clock and 7 o'clock p.m. at regular ticket prices. 2024 is the 14th year for this popular film series hosted by Ed Finch and Alan Wenzel at the Lindo Theater in Freeport. In a bit of history trivia for the week and related to our story about the Stevenson County Antique Engine Club, our historians tell us that the first rail service to Freeport began 171 years ago this week, when on August 31st, 1853, a Chicago and Northwestern Railway train arrived in town. In closing, we're pleased to share that next week's Tuesday in-depth interview will be FreePod and Timbuktu host Tim Connors talking with Luann Hayes of Birth to Five Illinois in Freeport. The goal of this statewide organization is to provide a statewide infrastructure that will utilize community input in the development of policies and funding priorities in order to build and sustain equitable access to inclusive, high-quality early childhood services for all children and families in Illinois. This conversation will post at noon on Tuesday, September 3rd. With that, time's up for this week, but tune in again next week for more about Freeport businesses, city plans in progress, area rewards and recognition, local impacts related to state and national news, and much more. As we say each week, FreePod couldn't come to you without the help of many local supporters. We're especially appreciative for the Mass Communications Department at Highland Community College for producing this podcast, as well as our many liaisons and reporters for the time they volunteer to bring the news to you. Thank you, Highland and Team FreePod. If you have story suggestions or would like to make a tax-deductible contribution to support FreePod, visit our website at www.freepod.org. Again, I'm Paulette Williams-Thomas, here with Pat Norman, and we hope you'll check back next week for more news you've been missing. Have a great long holiday weekend, and thank you for listening.